tonight. Thank the Lord for his blessings. And I love what the Lord allows us to witness. Brother Wheat, well, back up just a little bit. Brother Tim was speaking about training up our children in the ways of the Lord. And Brother Wheat testified how that sometimes God puts us on the same wavelength, the same way of thinking, causes us to think about the same thing, and made it obvious in his testimony that he was thinking about the same things that Brother Tim was. And then Brother Tim, before he finished his talk, he came about this close to stating my title tonight. And then Brother Lowe, in his testimony, when I was studying this today, one of the last things I studied and one of the last things that Brother Lowe said in his testimony fit my thought just perfectly. And, you know, a lot of people take things as coincidence, but I just believe the Lord works among his people. So here's what Brother Tim said. He said, God has a purpose for every life he gives. And the title that I was going to use tonight and am going to use tonight is that God has a purpose for all people. I'd like to call your attention to 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. If you want to turn there and read with me, please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and let's begin reading together with the first verse of that chapter. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called thee not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And I want to stop reading there with those 10 verses. Samuel was a unique person. Samuel wasn't perfect. He wasn't any more perfect than anybody else from Adam's seed has ever been perfect. None of us have been. But, you know, when I study the life of Samuel, you know, there's just not much bad that you can say about Samuel. He was a great servant of the Lord. And there are some things that I wanted, just a few things I wanted to point out concerning Samuel. He was a child that was born that had been very much prayed for. I mean, his mother Hannah prayed earnestly. She was extremely burdened that the Lord had shut up her womb and she wasn't able to have a child. And she prayed, I believe, one of the most beautiful prayers that is recorded. A very humble prayer. I believe in the prayer that Hannah prayed, I believe that we find the words that tell us what prayer really is. Hannah said, "I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, for I have poured out my soul before the Lord." I mean, that's what we do when we really get to praying, isn't it? We pour it out before the Lord. She prayed for this child, trusted God that He would grant her request, and He did, and He blessed her and opened her womb and gave to her a man child. Hannah's prayer was not selfish. Hannah's prayer was not just to benefit her. Hannah made God a promise that if He would bless her and give her a man child, that she would give him back to the Lord. I'll tell you what, friends, that's the best thing you can do with your children, is give them to the Lord. They're His anyway, aren't they? And when she had taken the child and weaned him, she kept her promise to God, and she took him there to the tabernacle, to the old priest, and she did keep her promise to the Lord and return him unto the Lord. Samuel, like all children, he began to grow. And, you know, when I read the life of Samuel, I think about a life that was spent the way that a life ought to be spent. He was involved with the things of the Lord from his very youth. And that's the way that it ought to be. And I believe this with all my heart tonight, that God does have a purpose for all people. In fact, you know, sometimes as people, sometimes that we do things, when we do things, I'm sure that you have heard the expression, "Well, he's just piddling." I mean, sometimes that's what we do when we do things. I remember my dad, he was such a hard worker all of his life. I mean, he just worked and he worked and he worked. And when he got sick and his health would not allow him to work anymore, and he had to retire on disability, and he couldn't sit still for anything. He would find something to do, and a lot of times all he was doing was piddling, just trying to keep himself busy. Sometimes we do things, you know, that don't have a whole lot of purpose to them, but God never does. God has never done anything. He's not an arbitrary God. God has never done anything but what it had a great purpose to it. I want us to think about the creation. God created Adam. And as I've just said, He didn't create Adam because He was bored. He didn't create Adam because He just didn't have anything else to do. He didn't create Adam just to have a creation. He didn't create Adam just to have someone to commune with. He had a very distinct purpose in creating the first man, Adam. The Bible tells us that He created him from the dust. He took the dust of the earth and He formed the man. And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. And then we read how that when God saw, when He brought all the animals before Adam to give them their names, and He saw that there was not a helpmate for him, God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took a rib from Adam, and then he closed his flesh back up, and with that rib he made a woman. He brought her unto the man, and she became Eve. God had a purpose for her. He had a purpose for Adam. He had a purpose for Eve. And then God began to use them to bring people into the world. God began to use the first man and the first woman to bring children into the world. He told them to replenish the earth. He put in place what we know as procreation. Procreation is simply the act of beginning, generating, or producing young. And that's what they begin to do. We read about the time when they begin to have children born unto them. In fact, the Bible uses the word many times back there in the Old Testament, begat. He begat sons and daughters. Now, those of us here tonight that are males, you know, we didn't come into the world exactly like Adam did. We were not made directly from the dust the way that Adam was. Those here tonight, women, those here that are females, were not made exactly the way that Eve was made. You know, you weren't, God didn't cause your husband to go into a deep sleep and take a rib out and make you the way that, exactly the way that he made Eve. But I'll tell you what, everyone that is conceived in the womb of a woman, just as Samuel was, every person that is conceived in the womb of a woman and born into this world is just as much God's creation as Adam was and as Eve was. And God has just as much purpose from the time that he made Adam from the dust and the time that he made Eve from that rib. Every life that God brings into the world, he has just as much purpose for that person as he did for Adam and as he did for Eve. He doesn't do anything without having a purpose for it. I believe that if you read the scriptures, and you don't really have to be a scholar to figure it out, if you simply read the Genesis account of the creation, I believe that it's very plain in there for what purpose God had created Adam. He created Adam to take care of that which belonged to the Lord. He created Adam to serve him. He took him and God had planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And he put him there to dress and to keep the garden. Now the garden wasn't Adam's, it was God's garden. It belonged to God. God planted it, it was his. But he placed that man there for the purpose of keeping and taking care of that which belonged to God. You know, that's still the purpose of man today. He gave, in his creation of Eve, the Bible teaches us very plainly that he created Eve to help Adam to do the things that God had for him to do. Her purpose was to help him to fulfill that purpose and also to honor God as well. And so, the Lord had a distinct purpose in that he had done. Now, you know, there's something we can never say, and I'm afraid sometimes that we, as people, that we may have a tendency to look at somebody else, and we may have a tendency to, you know, zero in on people that just seem to be drifting along in life, and we may look at them and we may say, well, that person's life has no purpose at all, but that's not true. What we might be able to rightfully say is they haven't searched out and found their purpose, but I assure you they have a purpose. If they're here on the earth,
They're God's creation and they have a purpose. God has a purpose for their life. I want you to know tonight, and I want this evening, I believe, to especially address those of you who are young and those of you who are young Christians, because, you know, I don't ever want you to think that you have no purpose in this world. If you didn't have any purpose in this world, I'll tell you, people have struggled with that. People have brought themselves into states of great depression at times in this life, and they have begun to believe, well, I just have no purpose here. There's just no reason for me being here. But folks, let me tell you, that is never true about anybody. If there was no purpose, if there was no reason for you being here, then I assure you, you would not be here. God would have never brought you into the world if there was no purpose for you to be here. You know, sometimes, and I want us tonight to look at the big picture. That's what we need to do. We need to look at the big picture. We need to look outside the box. Sometimes as parents, and I'm not here to, make light of things that we say and the way that we look at things, because I understand when we say things like this, I understand what we mean. But, you know, oftentimes as parents, we may use the expression in thinking about our children. We may even use the expression, well, I brought you into the world. No, we didn't. No. Everybody that comes in this world, God brings them into the world. I believe that it would certainly be true for us to say that God used us for that purpose. But I'll tell you what, every time it was this way with Samuel, it's this way with us today. Every time that a child is born into this world, God has brought a new life into the world. If you don't agree with that, it's no trouble at all for me to prove it to you. One verse truly is enough. We find in Acts chapter 17, verse 25, when the Apostle Paul was among the men of Athens there, when he preached that great notable sermon there at Mars Hill, this is what he told us. He said that God is not worshipped with men's hands. Acts chapter 17, verse 25. God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Who gives life? God does. God has used human intervention for this, like he has many things throughout time. God has used a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, to bring children into the world, but it's God that is giving life. Don't ever make any mistake about that. God is the giver of life. What was it that Job said when his children had died? When that great wind came and smote the house and the four corners of the house fell upon his children and they were dead. Did Job say, I gave and God took away? Did he say, I brought them into the world, but God took them away? No, he looked at it from both ends, didn't he? He said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. God controls our lives. He controls our lives. Whether you want to admit it or not, every time that we breathe, every time that we breathe in and breathe out, don't give credit to your lungs. God is giving you breath. He's just using your lungs as an instrument. Every time your heart beats, it's because God is making it beat. Everything that we do, I love Brother Tim's statement last night about even a scratch. When it's healed, God healed it. God's in control. We are God's creation. You know, we, Brother Wheat, already tonight, and I believe it. Folks, I believe it. That's exactly what I believe about my life in this world, that the very moment that God calls me out of this life, friends, I'm going. I'm going. I'm going to answer that call. Solomon said, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and in that war there is no discharge. I've heard of people before. I remember a good friend, a mutual friend that Brother Tim and I had, Sister Debbie Kosdurka, years ago up in Indianapolis, died in the hospital. I mean, she died right there while she was in the hospital. And they said with what happened to her that if there would have been a team of 100 of the finest doctors in the world, they wouldn't have been able to sustain her life. That's true. When God calls, when God gets ready to take away, He takes away. Now, I don't have to worry about that because I'm going home to be with Him. When the Lord calls me, it's hallelujah time. That's the way I feel about it. All that fear of death that I used to have, you know, I'm glad it's gone. I'm thankful that it's gone. When I was lost, I was scared to death to think about dying. I mean, it just drove me crazy. There were times that I couldn't lay down and go to sleep at night because I couldn't quit thinking about what would happen if I didn't wake up. What would happen if I never saw the dawning of another day? I knew that I was lost, but I'll tell you what, from the time that the Lord saved my soul, I've slept really good. I've had some real peaceful nights. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it one bit. When the Lord calls, I'll just answer and just go home to be with Him. Let me tell you something, folks. Those of us who are saved, don't worry about it. We won't lose a thing when we die. I mean, death won't hurt you not one bit. Not only, from what the Bible teaches me, not only will we not lose anything, but we're going to make great gain. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Philippians, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ." You ever find yourself in that strait? I believe that you do. I believe that those who are saved know what that means. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. Listen, that soul that is saved, that righteous soul, it doesn't want to be housed in this corruptible body. It wants to take its flight to be with God. And thus the warfare between the spirit and the flesh when we leave this world, we're just taking our flight to be with God, and we're going to be so much better off, and that's just all there is to it. It's all there is to it. I hear sometimes, and I don't know, I think, you know, I could see it happening, I suppose, when people maybe get out of the will of God, but, and I don't mean to sound insensitive or anything like that, but you know, sometimes even people that are saved are like, "Oh my gosh, you know, that, you know, this whatever I've got here, man, I just may not make it." Well, so what? I mean, we'll be better off, won't we? Amen. We'll be better off. Whatever God's will is God's will. I mean, that's all there is to it. My life belongs to Him. Your life belongs to Him. We all belong to the Lord. If we live, we live unto the Lord. If we die, we die unto the Lord. And God is the God of the living, not of the dead. Remember, I didn't mean to go this way, but perhaps we'll spend a few minutes here. Remember what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? Boy, the Lord, He was transfigured before them. And the old prophet Moses, the old prophets Moses, Elijah, they're talking with Jesus. You know what? Those men had been gone from the earth for hundreds of years. There they were suddenly. They're on the Mount of Transfiguration talking with the Lord. Well, where do you suppose they'd been? They'd been with him all the time, hadn't they? They'd been with the Lord all along. He is the God of the living. God gave me life. Gave me eternal life when he saved my soul. And so, you know, to me, my death is just that door that will free me, and I'll be able to go be with God. And that's all that it is, folks. It's all that it is. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I feel for people because I know, you know, I don't mean that in an insensitive way. I feel for people because I know it leaves a hurt in families. But that's what concerns me is the pain that it leaves behind. For that person that's gone, I rejoice for them. They're home to be with the Lord. You know, I'll tell you what, you pray for me, and I'll pray for you, because I want to glorify God in that. I want to glorify God in my death, and I want to glorify him in my life. And you know what? If they come to me, and they examine this body, and they say, you know, friend, you know, we just don't believe you're going to make it very long. I just want to be able to just say, let the will of the Lord be done. I belong to him. I'm his. I want to glorify the Lord, and I have prayed before. I've shared this with you before. You know, I only get to do it once. One time. It's appointed unto men once to die. I have got down on my knees before God, and I've said, Lord, when it comes time to die, help me to do it well. Help me to do it in a way that'll honor and glorify you. I don't want anybody to see any fear in me or any you know, reservation or anything whatsoever. Just, Lord, let it be done as it suits you. I think it would, I just believe it honors the Lord. What a wonderful gift that life really is. You know what? I'm thankful that God gave me the privilege to live in his world. I've seen the hand of God in the creation of his natural things. The Bible says that we do. I've seen beautiful sights in this world. I love the trip just a couple years ago that several of us from the church here made up there to Alaska when the church up there, the anchor was organized and got to, you know, see the Lord in a way that I believe perhaps made that verse more real to us. The firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And we got to view some things up there that were beautiful. And I'm thankful that I had been blessed enough to live in God's world that he created. Life is a wonderful gift from the Lord. You know, it bothers me to see people that are just down on life and just, you know, life stinks and all that. I hate that. Life doesn't stink. Life's a beautiful gift. It's a beautiful gift from the Lord. It's precious. But there was something there was a thought that hit me several years ago in my studies that's been with me, and it's bothered me ever since. It's been a burden in my soul ever since. A sad thought, very sad thought that came up on me one time when I was reading some of the writings of Solomon. And that is that such a sad thought to me to think that so many people will come into the world, and some of them will live here for, you know, many years, and they'll pass the time of their sojourn. They'll use up the gift of life, and they'll live without ever fulfilling the purpose for why they were ever even here. That is so sad to me. To think that a person would live and die. You know, even in the world that we live in today, from time to time, we still hear of people that live 100 years or more. To think that people would live and die, some of them according to earthly standards, some of them will live what we call a long life, and they'll be just exactly like what Solomon said. They'll come in vanity and they'll depart in darkness. What a sad thought to think that somebody could spend their life that way and leave the world lost and without God and never having fulfilled the reason that God placed them here. That bothers me. Well, what is it? What is the purpose? I mean, have you ever had somebody or heard somebody questioning why they're here? You know, that was something that I used to hear when I was a teenager, when I was in school and stuff. I mean, I had some friends that, well, I mean, people that I thought were friends. They were schoolmates, classmates, whatever. They just, you know, why am I here? You know, they'd be down and out and depressed and just, what am I doing here? You know, I don't understand. I don't understand why I was born. I don't understand why I was here. Well, I'll tell you what, I know a whole lot more about it now than I did back then. I'm glad that I do. I believe Solomon made it very plain. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Solomon set out from what I understand from the book of Ecclesiastes, he looked at this earthly life from every angle. I mean, he just did all sorts of things. He said, I got man singers and women singers, and I got people that could play instruments, and I had all sorts of horses and soldiers, and Solomon built a vast empire during his time as king. Spoke a little bit the other night about the Queen of Sheba, how that she heard about all the things that Solomon had done, and she came there and she saw what he had done through the wisdom that God had granted him, and she saw how happy that his men were, how happy that his servants were. And then Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he explains some of the many things that he did, how that he gathered all these musicians and singers and all of these things. And when he really began to look at it, he said, well, this is just a bunch of vanity. Vanity. These things are temporal. What profiteth a man in all his labor which he takes under the sun? These things are vanity, but it seems that by the end of his writing there, by the close of what we know as the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon had it figured out, didn't he? He had it figured out. Fear God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What I say earlier, let's look at the big picture. Let's look outside the box tonight. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is what? The whole purpose of man. King James Bible says the whole duty means the same thing. Duty, purpose, the whole duty or the whole purpose of man being here on the earth is to reverence Him with a godly fear and to obey and to keep His commandments. I want you to look at some scripture with me in the 139th Psalm. I love this Psalm. Psalm 139, towards the end, let's Let's look at the 14th verse. The psalmist David said, I will praise thee, speaking in reference to the Lord. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. I'll tell you what, folks, when a man and a woman come together and a woman conceives, there's life there in that womb. Life. I believe that's exactly what David was referring to here. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. God knew about him even then. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. If we look at what happened, what God said concerning Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Amen. Let me tell you something. Boy, I'll tell you, people have done it so casually, seemingly without any, hardly any afterthought. But all of those that have been responsible for the abortion of these babies, they were killing. I'll stand on that, folks. They were killing people. There was life there. As far as I'm concerned, we don't need any leaders in our country that don't believe that. There was life there. You know what? Some people got out of hand. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen, it was never necessary. Nobody had to go and murder doctors, and nobody had to go and burn down those facilities. I'm telling you what, God will take care of that. God's going to judge them for that. I guarantee you that He will. You know why? Because God had a purpose. He had a purpose for every one of those little ones that man destroyed. God had a plan. I'll guarantee you He had a plan for their life. Sure enough, God doesn't do anything ever without a purpose. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why? Why? Because He wants all men everywhere to be saved. 1 Timothy 2 and 4, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter chapter 3, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent because it's His will that all men everywhere be saved. Why? Why is that God's will? Well, so that He might create them in Christ Jesus unto good works. Why? Because so that they will be able to present their bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto Him. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're lost, you'll never fulfill your reason for being here unless you first repent of your sins and become a child of God. That's the first commandment to you. Repent, trust the Lord, and be saved. And God, through the blood of Christ, will purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, you can get all sorts of wrong ideas about life. You know what? I'm afraid that sometimes, and I hope that you will understand what I'm saying. I'm afraid sometimes, even among our churches, among Christian people, that we just sit back too often, and we allow our kids to take up with everything in the world. You know, we allow them to become so engulfed in sports. We allow them to become so engulfed in music or whatever that it is, and we fail to teach them why they're really here. We do. Convinced of that. We need to teach our children what their purpose in life truly is. And we need to drive home the point to them that there is nothing more important in this life than seeking the Lord and being saved, and they need to do it according to the Scriptures while they're in the days of their youth. I'll tell you what I believe. Tell you exactly what I believe. I believe the very moment that the Lord moves on a heart, regardless of how, if that person's 10 years old or 12 years old or 11 years old or whatever it is, I believe the very moment that the Holy Spirit of God through His power reveals it unto a person that they are lost and without God, that right then and there they need to be seeking after the Lord for salvation. They don't need to wait for any heavier feeling. If God makes it known to you that you are lost, He is drawing you to Him right then and there. God doesn't have, you know, it's not in God's plan for you to say, well, you know, okay, I'm lost now. You know, probably 2 or 3 years from now I need to get saved. No, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You know what? I'm convinced that when the Lord called me to preach, when He made it known to me that that was my purpose in life, I'm convinced that He called me to preach immediately. Not to wait until I had reached an older age or was more mature. No, God called me. That's exactly what Paul did. When God called him there on the road, he said, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood, but I went about doing what the Lord called me to do. You need to move when God moves. When the Lord moves on your heart, when the Lord draws you to Him, you need to draw nigh to God. You need to follow that and don't tarry and don't delay. People pass through their life and they think, you know what, isn't this awful? Isn't this awful? There's going to be people, and there have been people, that they've come to the end of their life. God bless your heart, Brother Lowe. I'm going to get to what you said here in just a minute. There are people that are going to live on this earth. You know, as long as Brother Lowe has, I think Brother Lowe's, I don't know, somewhere around 100. But There's going to be people that are going to live on the earth as long as Brother Lowe has, or as long as Brother Doss, or some of the older members of our church here, and they're going to look back across the scenes of their life, and they're going to see the money they made and the house that they built and the property that they own, and they're going to deceive themselves into thinking they've had a good life. They didn't have a purpose-filled life at all. Amen. Not at all. But I'll tell you what, you can, and this is what Brother Lowe said. Brother Lowe said, when you pass away, they can write all kinds of stuff about you. Well, I'm going to give you what I believe is the best. I'll tell you what I believe is the very best. And I believe that if this is said about a person when they've ended their life, then this is all of it. I mean, you read this about a person and you know that they lived a life of purpose. Joshua 24, verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. That's it. You know, that's all that says it all, doesn't it? The servant of the Lord. Brother Lowe said, if they could just say about him, Herschel Lowe got under conviction and got saved. Well, that tells it all, doesn't it? That tells it all. Friends, listen, if you go through life, I don't care what you do, I don't care what you accomplish, if you go through life and they can't say that about you at the end of your life, you missed it. You missed it. As far as I'm concerned, if you've got Jesus, you've got it all. If you don't have him, you don't have anything. No matter what you may possess, no matter how much tangible goods you may have, if you don't believe that's true, read the 12th chapter of Luke and find out what Jesus said about it. When he spoke about that rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully and he had such an increase that he couldn't even store it all, and he was just going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns, and he was going to say to his soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But the Lord came to him and said, you fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee, and then whose shall these things be? You know what Solomon said about the things that we leave behind, our earthly possessions? You know what he said? He said, the man to whom we leave them, he may be a wise man or he may be a fool. He may use the things that you leave behind, he may use them wisely or he may use them as a fool. Brother Strode, I've noticed here in the last couple years, Brother Strode really seems to like singing the song, What Will I Leave Behind? Well, I'll tell you what, folks, when we consider what we are going to leave behind, we better think in spiritual terms. Those who have labored, those who have toiled to leave behind spiritual writings, spiritual works, to leave behind a legacy, were those that follow after them. You know, let me tell you something. If you don't know anything at all about your great-great-granddaddy, if you were blessed enough to hear he was saved, you've got a great legacy. He left behind a great legacy. The servant of the Lord died being 110 years old. I appreciate your attention tonight. I believe that we are here to honor God. I believe that we are here in this world to be used of the Lord. We are His creation. Our lives belong to Him. When God, brings us into the world, He's the one that's giving us life, and that life belongs to the Lord. That's hard sometimes for us to accept. It's hard for us to accept that sometimes when our loved ones die and leave the world because it hurts us so much. But the truth is, they belong to the Lord. All life belongs to God. He chooses who comes in, and He chooses when we go out. He's going to do that with me. I wouldn't be here in the world had not God given me life, and when the Lord is finished with me, I'm going to be gone. I'm resolved to that. And I hope that you can find peace in the Lord here tonight, that you can be resolved to that as well. I hope something's been said that'll help somebody. Let's have a song. And if you're here tonight and you're lost, you need to turn to the Lord and seek Him and be saved.
Number 370, 370.
You know what the Apostle Paul did when he knew that he was getting ready to die? He knew what had happened out there on that road. He knew that he was about to be executed. And he just sat down and he took him a quill or some parchment or whatever that it was. And he wrote to his friend Timothy and he said, "Well, I'm ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And that was all there was to it. That's how he looked at it. Thank God that he can give us that which gives us such great peace and consolation in the time of death. I don't think it's hard for a child of God to die unless they make it that way. I believe God will give us everything we need when it comes time to depart this life. But if you're lost and without the Lord, death ought to be the worst thing you can think of. I know it was for me. I'm glad that God has helped me. I didn't find it myself. I'm thankful the Lord has helped me to know my purpose in life, because I would hate to think where I would be without it. Brother Tim, I'll turn it back to you.
I believe it's in the book of Ezekiel. I'm not sure what chapter. I want to say chapter